We are in the book of Matthew, and this is the last chapter. It's a short chapter. Matthew chapter 28, starting from verse 1.
In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn, toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven, and came and rolled back the stone from the door, and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow.
Last week, if you remember, chapter 27, when they were taking him for burial, they were Mary Magdalene, mother of Jesus, and other ladies, they were watching where they're going to keep Jesus, and they were thinking maybe they will come after Sabbath and put some more spices, and that was their idea. Now, when you read it in the book of Mark, they were saying, who will be rolling the stone for us? Because they knew there is a big stone. But in Matthew says, as soon as they came, they already saw the stone was rolled away. But he says, what happened? There was an earthquake, and the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. At that time, the guards were watching. And those guards were not like a one or two, maybe 12 guards doing 8 hours duty, and they are changing of the guards, so 24 hours they were watching. And here when they saw the angel, his face was just like a lightning. That means his face was shining. They could not see properly his face. And his garment, his robe was like a white as snow. And so the clothes were white, face is lightning, so everything reflects and they can see like a ball of fire or something like that. And those people didn't know what is this, and the word of God said they were very, very afraid. Verse 4.
And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men.
Okay. Now the keepers are the soldiers or the guards. He says the keepers did shake. That means they start shivering. As you know, when you have a lot of fear, your knees will be start shaking. And some people do get heart attack. And some people even they die with the fear. And so these people were very afraid, and they almost got a heart attack. They were already on the ground. They were fallen on the ground. And the word of God says, and became as a dead man. That means they were already having some kind of heart attack, and they were like a dead man. And so I don't think the angel helped them or angel talked to them. We will come back to this verse 5, but let's go to the Matthew chapter 28. Start reading from verse 11 to 15.
Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers.
Now here is the word of God is saying, when these guards, they were afraid, they saw the earthquake, they saw the door open, they saw the angel sitting, they saw everything, and maybe they saw the ladies coming, but they just ran to the city, and first of all, they went to the chief priests and other leaders, and they told them everything what they saw. And so what the other people are doing, the verse 12 says, people got together, means priests, with Pharisees, and all the elders, and they had counseling. They got a meeting. What we should do? These people are giving us a news. that Jesus Christ is risen. The tomb was empty. They could not find Jesus. They saw the angel. They could not recognize this as the angel or Jesus or what, because they were shaken by the earthquake and the power of the angel and the shiny face of angel, and they were all like a dead man on the floor. Those people told all the story, and these people, means Pharisees and priests, they decided, let's give them money. Not little money, they give a large amount of money. In our language, I don't know, maybe not thousands, but millions of dollars maybe. And when these soldiers, they don't get a high salary. And so when they got this kind of money, and they were afraid, and what these people were telling them, teaching them how to lie. They said, tell this all the people what happened. Whatever the real story is, you don't tell. Just tell the story that you were sleeping. And while you were sleeping, the disciple came in the night, and they took the body. Please read verse 13.
Saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while he slept.
Can you imagine, if they are changing up the guards, they are not going to get tired. 8 hours of duty, you are gone, and the fresh people come, and so everybody cannot sleep on the duty. And if somebody says, I was sleeping on the duty, Roman government will kill them all. Because we kept you there to watch. You cannot sleep. If somebody is a guard in the bank or someplace and watching something, and he says, okay, I was sleeping and somebody took the money and I don't know, people are going to take his word? No. They will say, your hand is in there. You are the one doing it, and they might do some harm to this person. And so this is what happened, and the soldiers were taught, tell them that you were sleeping. Verse 14.
And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day.
Can you imagine how the money makes people blind? They simply said, okay, what we're going to do, if this news goes to the governor that you are sleeping, then governor will punish you. But before he does, we will give him also money, and we will tell the governor. The officers told this story. We don't want these stories to go out, and the Christian people, they already know, but we don't want to know these people, so we are going to seal this thing. We are going to give you the money. We are going to tell the people, this is what happened. The disciple came in the night and took the body, and that's what they want to see. And the word of God says, this story is still Jewish people believing today. You see news people, what they do, they twist the story. If somebody gives them money or they have some kind of motive, they twist the story and they put it something, and the people believe what they're saying. If one newspaper or one television station saying something and other person saying something, then the people will have problem. But see, if somebody has the money, give money to all the radio station, give money to all the television station, give money to all the newspaper, and shut their mouth, and they print the wrong story, everybody the same thing, people believe it. And that's what happened. Okay, let's go back to our chapter, Matthew chapter 28, verse 5.
And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified.
Now the angel is talking to these ladies who are there. He says, I know what you're looking for. You're looking for Jesus Christ. But he is not here. He was crucified, but he is risen. Verse 6.
He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly, and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre, with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word.
Okay, now here we see Matthew does not give the real story, means he gives the story, but he does not give in detail story. If you read in the book of Mark, book of John, and book of Luke, we got all detailed story. So if somebody wants to know, because we don't have time, book of Mark, chapter 16, book of Luke, chapter 24, book of John, chapter 20, and Matthew, chapter 28. If all these chapters, if you read, then you get the full story. Here he's saying that angel told them, Jesus Christ is risen, go tell his disciples. So all these girls, they had a great joy, they were a little bit afraid, but they got a good news and they ran to tell the disciples. But in St. John chapter 20, we read, Mary Magdalene is the only one went running to John and Peter and told the story. So the Peter started running, John started running, John went ahead of Peter and stood at the tomb. He did not go in. Peter was running with him, but he was a little bit slow because he was a little bit older than John. He came later on and he just went in. And he went in, saw clothes and everything, but he was disappointed. He did not believe. But the word of God says in the same chapter, John believed it. John saw the cloth and he believed. Peter didn't believe. And then they went away. And then we read that Mary Magdalene didn't go. She was still waiting and crying and looking for Jesus. And then she saw Jesus, thinking he's a gardener. And then when Jesus said, Mary, that's the time she recognized this is Jesus, and she wanted to give him a hug. He says, don't touch me, because I did not go to my father yet. But that scripture, Matthew just didn't mention in here. And so the people might be thinking this is what happened. But the John says, Mary Magdalene saw Jesus first. And if you want to read Mark chapter 16, verse 9, Mark says, Mary Magdalene was the one first saw Jesus.
Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils.
Okay, so now we know Mary Magdalene was there, and John's Gospel gives all the detailed story what happened. Matthew says, when all these ladies were going, Jesus appeared to them. Let's read verse 9. Matthew chapter 28, verse 9.
And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him.
Those ladies were going. Mary Magdalene was still at the tomb. When she saw Jesus, she came running to these people and telling them, I saw Jesus. And she might have told the whole story. And they did not believe. Just think the Mary, mother of Jesus, is there. And what she would feel in her spirit. Why this lady who had the seven demons, my son can appear to her. Is she holier than me? Some thought will come. And I am the one who gave birth to Jesus. And why he did not appear to me? Something like that. I don't think they were fighting or anything. But this thought might come to Mary, mother of Jesus. So here we see all these ladies are going. They are going might be slow because they are depressed. They didn't go running. So they were still going slowly to disciples. Here Mary comes with the good news. She said, you know, we saw the tomb open, but I was standing there and I saw Jesus. I was going to hug him and he said, don't touch me. And so he went to heaven. And so that story, people will not believe what she's saying. And here, Jesus comes back and he allows them to touch. And they worshipped him. Now their doubt is gone. Mary, what she was saying is true. But Jesus didn't say anything. If Jesus would have said something, Mary, I did not allow you to touch that time. And I told you I'm going to go to my father. But I went and I came back. Then these people will not have doubt. But we know Between that time, Jesus went to heaven. And it doesn't take much time for Jesus to go up to heaven and come down because he is God. And why he went to heaven? Because Hebrews we read, he took his own blood and he went to in heaven and then he came back. And so here he allowed them to worship and now they know Jesus Christ is really risen. Verse 10.
Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me.
We already studied from verse 11, so let's go a little bit further. Verse 16.
Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted.
Okay, now here it says 11 disciples, they went to Galilee, they were waiting for him on that mountain. Now here it says 11 disciples. But Paul says they were more than 500. Let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 6.
After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once.
Okay, above 500 means what? More than 500. How come these 500 people or more than 500 people came on that mountain? I don't think Peter or John or James or anybody going and advertising, hey, let's go to the mountain. 11 people just decided and they went there. How the other people came? Because Jesus Christ was meeting people 40 days in different timing. Jesus Christ was saying to people, come and gather because he was going to go to heaven. And so there are more than 500 people where they are watching. Go back to the Matthew chapter 28 verse 17. Here it says, and they saw him and they worshipped him, but some doubted. Do you know who that kind of person will be? When Jesus Christ came out of the grave, he showed his disciples in different timing and showed his hand, his feet, he ate with them and he gave the living proof that he is alive, including all those ladies and everybody. I don't think anybody had the doubt that Jesus Christ is not risen. Even the Thomas was doubting, you remember? But Thomas was doubting. Week later, Jesus Christ comes and says, Thomas, come here. And Thomas got the message. He fell on his face and he said, my God and my Lord. So the Thomas got saved. So I don't think among his disciples, these 11 disciples, anybody had doubt. Only one person was bad person, Judas, he was already dead and gone. So who are these people doubting? Do you know Jesus Christ had 12 disciples? They were chosen from other disciples and called apostles. That is in Matthew chapter 10 and Luke chapter 10. Just read the first verse.
After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come.
Now you know, there were 12 plus 70. But you do not see those 70 people in the burial ground or the time of crucifixion. You don't see them. Maybe when so many disciples running to mountain to see Jesus, and these 70 disciples, they came there, but those people were already backslidden. They didn't believe in Jesus, they didn't believe in Jesus' doctrine, they didn't believe in Jesus' teaching, and they left the ministry. Okay, let's go to the Saint John chapter 6 and verse 66. You have to read the whole chapter because we don't have time. Here these disciples, when they heard Jesus speaking, you have to eat my flesh and you have to drink my blood, then you will have life, otherwise you will not have eternal life. And those people start saying, this is so hard to understand, and they walked away.
From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him.
See, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Means after that time, they did not walk with him. They did not have any dealing with Jesus Christ, and they did not have any part of his ministry anymore. That's why you don't see those people. Only we see 11. When Jesus Christ was risen, all these people were with closed doors and things like that, closed doors and windows. 11 disciples, and they say. But these 70 disciples, they were not there. But I thought these disciples, maybe just for curiosity, came there, but they came there to discourage others. Not to encourage, but discourage. I don't believe this. He's not risen. Maybe he's some other guy and something like that. But 500 plus people believed, but these 70 people, this name is not given, but I'm just guessing in my spirit, because there is no other person can doubt among the disciples. And so these are the disciples, when they did signs and wonders and work with Jesus Christ, and when they backslidden, Jesus Christ says in those days, in Matthew chapter 21, if you read, he says, those people will come and say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do great things and miracles in your name? He said, I don't remember you. And then he says, go away from me. And so these other people will not make it to heaven. They will go to hell. Okay, go back to the Matthew chapter 28.
And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Okay, now here he says, go ye therefore. This is the commandment. Now, before Jesus Christ said to the disciples, even though now he says go, but he said to these disciples, do not leave the Jerusalem until you fill with the Holy Spirit. But here he says, when you fill with the Holy Spirit, that's the command to go. Because if you see St. John chapter 20, verse 21, when he comes, and then he says, go and preach. Go ahead.
Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you.
Okay, now here Jesus Christ said, as the Father sent me, I send you. So the command was given, go and preach. But I don't think at that particular time any disciples went anywhere to tell somebody. Even these 500 people gather, there is no proof that Peter or James or John or somebody went and said to people, let's gather together because Jesus Christ is going to go to heaven. As you remember, we learn about the resurrection. We don't have time right now, but we learn in St. John chapter 21. All these disciples went back to fishing. And when they went to fishing, they could not catch anything. Jesus comes early in the morning and he says, children, do you have anything to eat? They said, no. He said, well, put the net right side. At that time, John realized this is Jesus. They did it, and they got 153 fishes, big, giant fish. And then when they came to the shore, there was already bread and already fish cooking. And then Jesus gave the food to them. After this eating and everything, Jesus Christ said to Peter, Peter, do you love me more than this? And many people interpret like that. Jesus was asking, do you love me more than all other disciples? Do you think Jesus will ask that question? If you ask that question, that means you are spreading the bitterness. And so Jesus didn't say that. Jesus was saying, do you love me more than a fishing business? One time, you were a fisherman, and you gave up the fishing business, and you forsook all, and you followed me, and now you're going back to the fishing? Do you love this more? Means fishing business or money or world than your calling? And you know the story. He asked three times and he gave the answer to him. But that's not our subject right now. So point I was making, when Jesus Christ says, follow me, then he said, what's going to happen to John? He says, you don't worry about him. You follow me. And so he followed. And all of the disciples followed, and that's the way they went to the mountain. At that time, Jesus did not tell them, today I'm going to go to heaven. That was a surprise to them. So that's why I believe they didn't go to anywhere to tell other disciples or other 500 people, let's go, today is the day of ascension. They didn't know that. Here Jesus Christ is saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. So what he's trying to say, all power. Now when somebody says all power, means all power. There is nothing remaining which Jesus Christ cannot do in heaven and on earth. And some people saying, oh, he didn't know even when he's coming back or the end of the world or things like that. How can he say all the powers and everything is in my hand? As I told you at that time, Jesus Christ did not want this disciple to know exact date and exact time. That's why he said it is in Father's hand, and Father did not reveal to any angels or anybody else. But as he is God, Jesus Christ was on earth at that time when they asked the question, he was still in human flesh. Once he went to heaven, now he knows everything. He knows timing, he knows everything, but that time he didn't tell. But right now he says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Verse 19.
Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost.
Okay, now what he's trying to say, when you go, what are you doing? He said, teach all nations. He did not say, go and teach all our followers. Even though he said, Holy Spirit will come, book of Acts chapter 1 verse 8, and you will be my witnesses, starting from what? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and uttermost part of the world. So here he did not give the direction how to do it because he said it already. Now here is saying, teach all nations. Now there are so many people, they have narrow mind. They have barrier of language, color, nationality, and so they go to their own people. If you ask Indian people coming from South India, they have no desire to go and reach Americans. They just look for how many people coming from Kerala here, and they are Christians. In Kerala, there are so many different kinds of Christians. They have Jacobites, they have Marthamites, they have CSIs, they have Catholic, and then they have Pentecostal different groups. So what they do, when they find some Malayali, they will say, okay, what part of India are you coming? And what your denomination is, and according to that, say, oh, we have church like that, and then they go to their own language. When I came here, somebody came to me and said, Pastor Peter, you might be having Indian congregation. I said, no, sir. If I wanted to be an Indian pastor, then I didn't have to come to America. In India, I was, even the Indian pastors, I had all kinds of Indian groups, not only one language. I didn't say, okay, I'm from Maharashtra, so let's have all Marathi people. Or when I went to Gujarat, oh, let's have Gujarati church only. My church name was International Christian Fellowship. And so I wanted all international, all Indians, South Indians and Gujarati and Maharashtri and all kinds of people would come to my church. So that's what my calling was. I want to go to all over the world because that's the commandment. And so some narrow-minded people, they will have black church only, white church only, Philippine church only. They might be thinking, oh, this is good because we can understand better. But I believe when you are in America, you're supposed to know English, you're supposed to know American language, you're supposed to know American culture. But the Word of God is saying, we have to go to all the nations and preach the gospel. Now, here another thing is baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Ghost. You might be thinking, this is just a simple commandment. But people twisted this commandment. If you go to the Jesus only group, they call themselves Pentecostal. And they have two groups in that. One group is called apostolic. And so I said, can I ask you a question? What kind of Pentecostal are you? He said, I'm just Pentecostal. I said, I know there are several groups. Could you tell me what group you're coming from? He said, I'm apostolic. I said, do you believe Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit? Yes, I do. From his talk, I know he is something lying. He is not telling the truth. I said, okay, can I ask you a question? When you baptize the people, how do you baptize? Do you baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit? He said, no. Why? He said, Father is not a name. Son is not the name. I said, are you smarter than Jesus? When Jesus said it, baptize them in the name of the Father, name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Spirit, Jesus didn't know how to say. Why I'm saying this, their founder, whoever founded this only Jesus, or founded apostolic church, that person didn't know the truth. And so he himself was confused. And so the Word of God says, the Holy Spirit will come and guide you and teach you in all truth. And so one of the founders of Apostolic Church came and met me in India. And he started telling me that you should be baptizing the way we baptize, and all your congregation, our congregation, can be one. I said, sir, first of all, how do you baptize? And he started telling me, Father is not a name and Son is not a name. And so we baptize in Jesus' name. Jesus is the Father, Jesus is the Son, Jesus is the Holy Spirit. I said, sir, you got it wrong. And this person also, I said, do you know Father is a person and Jesus Son is a person and Holy Spirit is a person? He could not believe it. I said, go and read in Book of Acts chapter 7 and verse 55, and then you know. They were stoning to Stephen, and he looked at the heaven, and he saw heaven open, and he saw Father and Son. I said, how come he could see Father and Son? He says, Father is a spirit. I said, sir, yes. Jesus Christ says, St. John chapter 4, verse 24, God is spirit. God, when you say God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they were all in the spirit from the beginning. But Jesus Christ took the form of man, and then he became a man and took a form of man. But originally, they were all in the Spirit. That's what the Word of God says. Spirit is one. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they were united in one Spirit. But they are three persons, and they are not one person. And when I said that, this man didn't know even that scripture. I said, read it and find out. And so the point I'm making, we don't have this time, but when I teach about water baptism, I give all the detailed study about this scripture, how to baptize and what is the baptism is all about and what is the real baptism. And so here the Word of God is saying, whatever the commandment God has given to us, we have to obey. That one of the founders, when I met him, he said the Holy Spirit told us that you should be baptizing in Jesus' name. I said, sir, Jesus Christ said the Holy Spirit will come and he will not say anything of his own. He will only tell whatever I taught you and remind you whatever I taught you. Holy Spirit cannot tell anything, interpretation his own. And so we have to know. In this kind of people come and they mesmerize. One time one lady came and she said, Pastor Peter, I like you and I like your teaching, but if you could just baptize people in Jesus' name, I'll be very happy. I said, ma'am, I'm not here to please you. You should be knowing the truth. You got mixed up from some other denomination, but I am not going to change what I'm doing to please you. I said, you find out some apostolic church and go there and you'll be happy. But you don't come and try to teach our church member your doctrine. So the point I'm making, we should know the truth. The word of God said, ye shall know the truth, and truth shall set you free. But there are some people, they made up their mind, they don't want to listen, they don't want to listen the truth, and they block their mind like a lock. And so they are not teachable. They cannot learn. One person wrote to me from Sri Lanka, and he says, Pastor Peter, there are so many doctrines are going around about water baptism. I'm confused. Could you give me something Bible proof so I can go by? And so I gave him all the teaching about the water baptism and sent it to him. And when he studied, he wrote me back. He said, I'm so glad. Up to now, so many Bible study I studied about water baptism, I was not satisfied. But now I have something to go by. I'm not going to listen to anybody. This is what I'm going to preach. And so that's what the word of God is saying. Ye shall know the truth, and truth shall set you free. Jesus Christ has given us the truth, and that's the way we have to preach it. Okay, verse 20. Matthew 28, verse 20.
Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen.
Now see what he's saying. Teaching them. Here also said, teach all nations. Verse 19. And the verse 20 said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. That means 3.5 years, day and night, disciples were with Jesus Christ. He said, whatever the doctrine, whatever the teaching, I gave it to you. Don't mix anything in that. Just give the pure teaching what you learn and tell them to obey it. And then he said, I will be with you until the end of the age. Now here we see Matthew gives some command, Mark gives some command. Go to the book of Mark, chapter 16, start reading from verse 16 to 18.
He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned.
Now here somebody listens to this and they compare with the book of Acts, chapter 16, verse 31. There the jailer says, what should I do to get saved? He says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved and your household. He did not say anything about water baptism. So the people said, then there is no need of baptism. He said, you just believe Jesus Christ and you will be going to heaven. And they will give you the example of the thief on the cross. Now the thief on the cross, he believed Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And he says, when you come in your kingdom, please remember me. What Jesus Christ says, today you will be with me in paradise. Now somebody says, well, thief didn't take the water baptism. And so thief is in heaven. But I'm telling you, thief and the Saint Paul or Saint Peter will not have the same position. You understand? Thief, he just got saved. He didn't get baptized. He didn't fill with the Holy Spirit. He didn't do the missionary work. Do you think that thief and Saint Paul would have the similar place in heaven? No. If this thief had the chance and somebody would have taken him out of the cross, given chance to leave, do you think he would have said, I don't want to be baptized? He will surely say, if Jesus Christ is commanded to be baptized, I will surely get baptism. So here Jesus Christ says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That means, if you are a believer, you will not refuse to be baptized. Simple as that. He said, if you believe, what you believe? You believe in Jesus. What you believe in Jesus? I believe Jesus Christ, what he said. I believe what Jesus Christ want me to do. And whatever Jesus says, I love him and I'm going to follow him. Jesus Christ says, if you love me, you will obey me. Simple as that. If somebody says, I love Jesus, but I don't want to be baptized. I love Jesus, I don't want to read the Bible. I love Jesus, I don't want to go to church. I love Jesus, I don't want to pray. Is that person is really believing in Jesus? No. So if you believe in Jesus, then you obey what he says. This is a commandment. He says, if you believe, then you get baptized, then you will be saved. And so somebody says, what happened to the thief? Oh, thief got saved. But at the same time, Peter, Paul, or James, their position is not the same. Even the John the Baptist. Jesus Christ says, John the Baptist is the greatest man ever lived on this earth. From all the prophets and everybody, he is the greatest. But he says, there is a list in the kingdom of God, he will be greater than the John the Baptist. So there are positions, smaller and greater and greatest. And so according to what you did for the Lord, according to that you will get the position in heaven. You have to be believing in Jesus, and then you will be taking the baptism, then you will be saved. Verse 17.
And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover.
Now here he says, if you believe in him, you will be doing healings and miracles and all of these things you will do. And the same time he says, they will speak in new tongue. The people take that new tongue out of it, and they will say, oh, I believe and I do miracles. Other day, one man called me from New York, and he was in the same radio station where I was, and the radio station manager told him to talk to Pastor Peter. And so he called and he said, you know, Pastor Peter, I'm in the same station where you are. I said, what are you doing? Oh, I do the healings and miracles, and people are coming to my church and this and that. So I said, sir, what is your denomination? What is your foundational teaching? He says, well, I'm not Pentecostal. I said, doesn't matter, name. I said, I want to know your experience. He said, well, I just believe in Jesus Christ. Do you believe in immersion baptism? No. Do you believe in Holy Spirit? No. And so I just believe in Book of Mark. He says, the believers will lay hand and sick will recover. I said, sir, in that scripture he says, they will speak in new tongues. And so you have no desire to obey this. You just choose that I want to just pray for people and people get healed and that's all. But are you teaching them the full gospel doctrine? No. And so there are some kind of people got mixed up. Don't read the Bible properly. Don't study the word properly. And they just say, selected verses for them to satisfy them, and they make a doctrine out of it. So the Jesus Christ says, if you believe, you will be praying for people. People will get healed, delivered, and set free. But if you read in the Corinthians, he says, when you receive the Holy Spirit, you will have 9 different gifts. And the one of the gifts will be healing, gift of healing, gift of miracles, gift of faith. So if somebody ordinarily believes, okay, I pray for you and you will be healed, maybe today or maybe 5 years from now, but you'll okay. That's kind of prayer people do. You go to some ordinary churches and they give prayer requests. They say, you have prayer requests? Yes. And they will, okay, gather all this paper. Okay, we will be praying for you. We'll lay hand and pray. But they will never call that person to the altar, or they will never lay hand and pray, and they will never say, in the name of Jesus, be healed right now. And so why are they doing this? They go to the Mark and read, and so I'm a believer, I just lay hand, and sometimes they may not be laying hand, even though he says, if you lay hand. So the point I'm making, we have to preach the full gospel, not half, not little. Okay, let's go to the book of Luke, chapter 24, and start reading from verse 46.
And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem.
Now here it says, when you're preaching, preach about repentance, tell them about their sin, and preach them, this is not for believers, this is all nations, starting from Jerusalem. Now in Matthew, did not say, preach about repentance, didn't say, preach and tell them you are a sinner and confess your sins. He just says, just go and teach all the nations. what Luke said, what Mark said, all Jesus said. They record it in different way, but this is all Jesus teaching. This is not what Luke saying, this is Jesus saying. If you go and look at in your Bible, and if you have a red letters, you will see this is in red letters. And if you go to the Mark chapter 16 and start reading from 16 to 18, they're all red letters. Go to the Matthew and start reading from verse 18 to 20, they're all red letters. So from that, this is all the teaching of Jesus Christ. And so Jesus Christ taught this, but the different author start thinking, I'm going to only write this portion, and I'm going to write this portion. That's why we have four Gospels. When all the Gospels are read, and then we can get all one teaching. And so that's why we cannot say, oh, Matthew says that, so I just believe what Matthew says, and I don't believe what the Mark says. This is not Mark saying, this is not Matthew saying, this is not Luke saying, this is Jesus saying. So we have to take the teaching of Jesus. There are people making man-made doctrine. We are not under the law, we are under grace. But these people, Jehovah's Witnesses, Seventh-day Adventists, and some other denominations, they do half rituals of Old Testament and half teaching of the New Testament. People will tell you, oh, Jesus used to go to synagogue, so we have to go to synagogue. And Paul and Peter went to synagogue, so we have to go to synagogue. In those days, they were not churches. They were going to house and preach. Now somebody made the doctrine, we should not have churches. Because those people didn't have the church, so they went to house, so we should go to house, we should not have building of our own. So all these silly doctrines, people make it and people get convinced, okay, that's the way to do it. In the beginning, all the disciples, they were keeping all the widows and everybody, and they had food together and everything, and everybody was selling their property and giving the money to the Peter, and they said, oh, this is good community. That was not the plan of God. God did not tell them that, and they did not want to leave the Jerusalem. That's where the persecution came. When the Paul started persecuting the church, that's why Philip was the first one to left the Jerusalem and went to Samaria. And then other people start spreading because of the fear of Saul. And so the word of God says, start from the Jerusalem and go to uttermost part of the world. But they didn't understand at that particular time. Just like a people were building the Tower of Babel, they don't want to spread anywhere. And that's the thing that disciples start doing. We don't want to leave the Jerusalem. Let's stay here. But the persecution came, and then they spread everywhere. And now, everywhere the churches are. Some people say, oh, we should not be gathering on Sundays because Sabbath is the day they went to synagogue. First day of the week, Jesus Christ is risen. So we go into church to celebrate that Jesus' resurrection. We are happy to go to church on Sunday. We can worship Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, all days. Every day is God's day. So there are people making all kinds of excuses. Okay, the time is up. And our subject is finished. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. You are a miracle-working God. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You are unchangeable God. You have called us with a definite high calling. And you said, all power is given unto you in heaven and on earth. And you have given us the same power to us. And you said, I will not keep you as an orphan. I will not keep you as comfortless. I will not forsake you. I will be with you until the end of the world or end of the age. So I believe that you are here. We even read in the book of St. John, chapter 14, verse 23. You said, I will come and bring my Father and we will make our home in you. And then you said, I will send the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will guide you, lead you, teach you, and take you in all truth. And he will not say anything his own, but he will tell whatever I said. So Lord Jesus, we are so grateful to you. You have given us everything what we need to preach the gospel around the world. And you have given us that same power so we can do signs and wonders and miracles in your name. Because you have already said in the book of St. John chapter 14, verse 12, whatever the miracles I did, you will do also. And you will do greater miracles than me, because I am going to go to my Father. And so you did not keep us powerless, but you have given us the same power. So Lord Jesus, let the church, let the pastors, let the ministers study the word and be ready to receive the full gospel, not partial, not little, but all gospel. Receive all the power and do the signs and wonders and miracles in Jesus' name. Give us grace and let us be obedient to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Please be seated.